Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heart of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. This is another, what I am just calling, consistency episode to keep these episodes in your feed, to keep them coming, to keep them here. This is an episode I recorded for a previous podcast that I hosted called the Active Faith Podcast. You can find it exactly in the same podcasting app that you are listening to this in by finding Active Faith Podcast. It is a podcast that I led from a faith-based perspective on the nature of self-care in our lives. And because I did not have an episode for this week, I apologize. It has been just a crazy couple of weeks now. I did get that episode from Vanessa out to you all last week, and I was so excited to get that one out. But unfortunately, I have not been able to sync schedules with guests to get them recorded. And so I do have some that I'm recording this weekend as well as next week. They are already on the schedule, and I'm really hoping, not on wood, to be able to keep these so that I can get them scheduled, I can get them recorded, and I can get them into your podcasting feeds throughout the rest of this month. But for now, I am going back into the vault. I'm pulling this just great episode from the Active Faith Podcast where I interviewed Chesapeake, Virginia native Ray Girard and his journey in running and coming at it from a self-care perspective, talking about his journey in running and his journey even becoming a run coach and what that has meant for him. I am getting an episode scheduled with Ray so that we can talk about things from a more communal, community run, build, grow perspective. But I think that this is just a great thing for all of us as we're learning to run, as we're gaining this confidence, and especially looking at this last Wednesday as Global Running Day, there is nothing better than just getting on the run. And so let's listen to this episode. I kind of cut a little bit off the front and a little bit off the end just to get that really good juicy meat within it. And so let's take a listen and let's hear more about Ray's journey and Ray's story. As we start out, what has your running journey looked like?
Well, I started running actually 6 years ago. My daughter Jen, who lives in New York, invited me to run a 5K with her in Virginia Beach. That was the Rock and Roll 5K. That was back in 2017. I hesitantly said yes, but I trained for it.
As we all do.
Exactly. I ran it successfully, and I haven't stopped running ever since. And you could say that I caught the running bug. But prior to that 5K, my only running experience was a few years spent running track in high school. As a sprinter, mid-distance runner. So I had a little bit of experience of what it felt like. But as I like to say, I hung up my spikes after high school and just in pursuit of other adult activities, right? That's what we usually do. And fast forward to present day, here we are. I'm still doing it. I've become a coach, and I really enjoy doing the research to find out what works best for us when especially for beginner runners.
Yeah. And so in that journey of becoming, you know, I often say once you put one foot in front of the other, you're a runner. But in learning what it means to be a runner, what are some of those early lessons that you really learned in trying to grow, in trying to understand what it meant to move your body in that way?
Oh, sure. Movement is magic, you know, since the beginning of time, our ancestors, when we were hunter-gatherers, relied on movement for sustenance and survival. So the human body has adapted well to that way of living. And I believe that these days, the sedentary lifestyle, which has become so pervasive in society, is not the best way of being. It's not the best way for our health. So movement is necessary. So our self-care requires some form of daily activity to get the blood flowing and the muscles working. I chose running, but for the new runner, I recommend easing into it and allowing the body to adapt, you know, especially if you haven't been physically active at that level for an extended period. I went from the couch 6 years ago. I went from the couch to running full marathons within a 5 year period. That's how I like to tell my story. And my beginnings were humble. I used an app called Couch to 5K. It's a great app. I highly recommend it. And it'll get you focused on building your fitness gradually in order to get the best out of yourself and prevent injury.
Yeah. And then that brings over these ideas as we think about self-care, where we can't expect to be perfectionists right from the beginning, as much as we want to be, right? We want to go out for that first run. Everything's going to feel good. You know, we may be realistic and think, I'm not going to break a world record, or I'm not going to win a gold medal, but, oh, it's just going to be easy right from the start. I'll just be able to go out and run. And then about, 30 seconds in, our lungs are burning. And so, self-care and running especially, and I mean any form of self-care, whether it's running, walking, whether we're cycling or whether we're doing, meditation, yoga, trying to figure out what our day off schedule looks like, it's something to be expected that it's not going to be easy right at the front end of it, because sometimes it's something we haven't practiced before. And so as you've grown in and become a runner and this staple in the Hampton Roads running community, what have been some of those lessons that you've learned along the way as you've grown in that?
Oh, sure. Physical activity, whether it's running or anything you choose, is a personal journey. And when using it as a matter of self-care, it's important to realize that physical fitness is a journey. It's not a competition against others. I'm sure you'll agree. Rather, it's a competition between you and you. It's about becoming a better version of yourself, being better today than you were yesterday, and keep moving forward. You want to rebuild yourself. It requires a regimen of, I like to tell people, you need to build your aerobic base, which has a host of benefits for your cardiovascular health. And this may take months and may take years. So it's a process. A lot of people want instant gratification. They wonder, hey, why am I not improving? I've been running for 3 months. Yeah. No, it takes time. You have to build that foundation for all your future training and physical activity.
Yeah. And it takes consistency too. I think it's one of the big things that we often forget in any sort of ritual or practice is a lot of these things take consistency. I can remember about 6 or 7 years ago when I was not as a consistent runner as I have been, and I try and toe the line of the Richmond Half Marathon and think, oh, I can easily break 2 hours, and then I come crawling in, at about 2:30, and thinking to myself, well, why can't I get faster? Why don't I feel better? Why does this not feel easier? And it really came down to, what am I putting into it? Am I putting in the consistency, even if it is just 3 or 4 runs a week? That's a manner of consistency. But, I'd run like 1 or 2 runs 1 week, and then I'd come in and run like 4 or 5. 1 week I'd do 10 miles, the next week I'd do like 30 miles. And that consistent story that we write over the course of the several different types of cycles that we see in running definitely plays a role in how we perform, not even necessarily just on race day, which I guess could be the peak of our performance, but even just in our day-to-day trainings as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I ran my first half marathon in 2018. At that point, I'd been running a year already. I thought, hey, I'm going to do great. But I ran that first half marathon in 2 hours and 27 minutes. And I had already been running for a year. And I was saying to myself, how come I'm running so slow? It's been a year. But I was a novice. Then I realized that, hey, it's a process. It takes time. Where 5 years later, I'm able to run under 2 hours. And because I trusted the process. I use a concept called 80-20 running. You probably heard me talk about that on the on my social media. It's a concept where 80% of your training should be easy, conversational running, and at a heart rate that is in your aerobic zone. This type of training has been shown through research to build your aerobic system in such a way that it will provide a host of health benefits, as well as gains and improvements to your running, as well as your cardiovascular health. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. And I mean, the 80-20, I guess a lot of times in the running community, we call it the 80-20 rule. But yes. But that's a manner and understanding of training where you run 80% of your weekly mileage at some sort of easy aerobic pace. Yes. And so, for example, for someone like me who maxes out their heart rate in the mid 190s, you know, this is trying to keep easy runs somewhere in the 140, 150 range.
Correct.
And really keep that heart rate low. And what we what scientists and scholars and coaches see the benefit, like you said, is it builds this aerobic base that helps us. So especially when we're running longer distances, when we get to those half marathons and full marathons, our body knows how to respond to those situations where it's running. Yes. and the heart rate is being taxed at that 140, 150 for longer periods of time. And then you take that other 20% of the time and you're working on what we know and understand in the community is more anaerobic training, where you're going up to these higher speeds, you're really pressing and testing that threshold. Words like lactate and VO2 max start coming into play.
Exactly.
And you could really start nerding out over some of these terms, but that really starts to build that anaerobic, that without oxygen understanding. And,
correct.
And I think in our lives, when we talk about, and again, I love translating these ideas as a runner to these ways in which we care for ourselves, is there are these times in our lives where, okay, like we can go full throttle, right? And we look at it and really, like, anything more than 20% of our lives that we spend at full throttle should really be a question of saying, like, okay, maybe I need to, you know, find ways to recover. And when we think about that, you know, sleep is probably the biggest and best recovery tool that we have as runners. Yes. As human beings, sleep, making sure we're getting that regimented time of sleep, but also finding times throughout the day where we take times to relax, where we take times to unwind. That might be your daily run. That might be a time of meditation, of yoga. It might be just a walk. I was reflecting to a friend of mine yesterday that sometimes the property around my church is a half mile. I can walk the perimeter of our church's property. It's a half mile. And occasionally I'll just go walk that half mile. It takes me about 10-ish minutes. And it's just an opportunity in the middle of, like, if it's a really busy day, to just relax. And I think it's because I've learned that in the midst of running, not only does something like the 80-20 rule work, but I think also in life, maybe we should be looking at how the 80-20 rule can impact us.
I think so. I think in order to be well-rounded, we have to balance things out. And the 80-20 works well in both running and in life, as you suggest. And I've tried my best to incorporate it into everything that I do, and it becomes my self-care routine as well. Mm-hmm. See, you know, my journey took me from that initial 5K in 2017 to pursuing longer and more challenging distances. And through doing that, I've sort of found myself in this running journey. I've come to recognize that I can do difficult things. As you know, as runners, running is not easy. You know, it can be enriching and fun, but sometimes some days are better than others, as I like to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I heard a running podcaster reflect once that if you have a normal training cycle, 50% of your runs will be above average and 50% of your runs will be below average, just by the law of averages.
I like that.
and it just continues to hit home that point of how we treat ourselves in the midst of those cycles. And, you know, when we think about life, we break down cycles of, you know, we've got days, we've got weeks, we've got months, we've got years, we've got decades. Just like in running, you know, we've got the micro cycles, the macro cycles, mm-hmm. we've got the seasons, we've got, you know, all of these different cycles that we have in our running journey. And Ray is a certified run coach and offers that sort of perspective as well. And so, Ray, as you're looking at athletes and as you're training athletes, what are those things that you're looking for as you're trying to understand who this person is, what they bring to the table, you know, what, how you're training them as a runner? Because I think oftentimes we get in this mindset where we need to stop and reflect. And oftentimes we can bring other people in on that as well to help us do that. And so what's that process that you're using as you're helping to coach individuals and bring that spirit out in them?
Yes. The first thing I do is I'll interview the individual and I'll ask them what their goals are. You have to have a goal of mm-hmm. where you want to be. The goal could be health and fitness. You just want to go out and enjoy a nice run and keep yourself in nice physical shape. Or the goal could be to one day run a marathon or a half marathon, or the goal could be to be more competitive in your age group. So those areas, once we determine what areas your goals fall into, then we could train for that. But I always try to, depending on the level of experience the runner has, that will determine how we start and where we start. But I pay very close attention to form. I think that's important because sometimes a lot of runners go out there and run a lot, but they're running improper form, and that can lead to injury.
Yeah,
that can lead to poor performance. We emphasize also going easy 80% of the time, as we were talking about, and building your aerobic base and going through a process that will get you to your goal successfully and injury free. Because I mean, a lot of people, they'll just put on their shoes and go out and run without any set goal of what they want to accomplish. And I think it's important for everyone, even if you're not being coached, to set a goal. Say, this is what I want to accomplish by what I'm doing. And then that will help lead you in the right direction. But it's been a fun process.
And what are some processes that you use? You know, you gave us a reflection question there, but what are some processes that you use to set your own goal, to help others in understanding where to take their goals, to do things like that? How do you go about goal setting as an individual who continues to want to grow and understand themselves?
Well, first I decide what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. And that informs which direction I take. Like, I enjoy age group competition. That forces me to work a little harder. This coming Saturday, I'm going to New Jersey for a 12K run. It's a master's 12K run. So everyone's going to be 35 and above, you know, so there's going to be an age group, competitive race. And I always enjoy seeing what I can do within my age group. So that's my goal. So I work towards that. I do the necessary work. When I do that 20%, I go to the track, I will work hard, and also listen to your body. I think it's important for all of us we know our bodies well. We can tell if an injury, a potential injury might be coming. We can tell if we're fatigued in such a way where we need to take an extra rest day. Those things are important. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, it's important to know yourself, know your body, and know your goals, and let that inform which direction you take.
And one of the things that I really appreciate about that is it again is all about you. And it's all about where you are. I often reflect when we look at some of these professional athletes, when we look at or professionals in any industry, and we think about the things that they're doing, a lot of their stuff is competition against others and how they're performing against other people's standards. But the nice thing about the average layperson who is running, jogging, walking, cycling, practicing self-care is really the person that you're looking towards to identify what maybe how you might consider success or failure could just be you.
Yes.
I look at it all the time is, you know, I am in a place in my running journey where, like you, I feel like I can compete in my age group. I can't compete against the Ryan Carrolls who are finishing up, you know, placing overall, but you know, I'm in a good age group right now where I feel like I can compete. And if I have a good race for myself, that I can come home with an age group award of some kind, top three, maybe even win my age group. And so oftentimes I'll rest and be reassured in that, okay, cool. Like, this is my goal. And even in that, I try not to get lost so much that I forget, you know, okay, this 5K is about, I'm trying to come under, you know, 21, or I'm trying to break an hour and 40 minutes in the half marathon. You know, those are the kinds of goals yes. that you focus on. And then it the byproduct kind of often becomes that. And when we're setting our goals in life as well, it often benefits us to sit down and reflect, where am I right now? And where might I want to be in X amount of time? I often like to, you know, set goals for like monthly goals, like quarterly goals, bi-yearly goals. Those are the kinds of things so that when it comes time to read and reflect on how we've grown, we can look and see, this is what I've done in the past 6 months, and this is how I've grown across that process.
Yes. And as you suggest, there will always be other runners that are better than us. There are those that are very talented. They just at another level. Those guys, we're not looking to compete against them. We admire them. They inspire us. They motivate us. The possibilities, right? Like you mentioned, Ryan Carroll, you know, mm-hmm. is an amazing runner. It's good to know him. And you versus you is really the bottom line for recreational runners. Becoming a better version of yourself over time. It's really just when you go out and chase a PR, for example, mm-hmm. it's really a great feeling when you come out and say, hey, you know, I ran this race a minute faster than I did last time. That's really a great feeling of accomplishment. So yeah. For the casual runner, I think that's the pursuit, you know, to be a better version of yourself at all times and continue on that path.
Yeah. And I mean, at all times, like I know folks who are adults, like, you know, they're master's level runners and they're running faster than they ran, you know, when they were in high school.
Yes, and, that's amazing, right?
Right. I mean, like I think about Thomas Hicks all the time, and I was having yes. conversations with Thomas Hicks not too long ago, and mm-hmm. He's running sub 5 minute miles, and he said, you know, these are PRs, these are lifetime bests, these are things that yes. I've never been able to do in my life, and I find it phenomenal that I also know that Thomas is someone who has that mentality, right? He has that mentality of saying, how am I getting better today? And I know that, you know, once Thomas is done being the best human being on earth and setting all these, you know, lifetime bests, that mm-hmm. he will rest and reside in that fact of, okay, what is the best that I can do right now? And I know that someone like that, and especially for me, like, this is my best right now, and not getting lost in the shuffle of comparing myself to who I was when I was younger and trying to hit times that maybe right now aren't feasible for me. Or as I do my recovery with my arm, and I, you know, had to take 6 weeks off running, I did a 5K this last weekend, and having been back running for a week, I'd only done like four runs that week. I ran a 26:25 5K with 6 weeks off of running, all of that fitness that I lost. And I just had to remind myself, it's like, all right, no, this is like where you are right now.
Right.
And how are you comparing what your body is doing right now? And that begins to set the stage and foundation for that goal. And that in itself becomes a self-care mentality.
Yes.
Because the even dark side of that, of comparing ourselves against ourselves, is what happens when we're not better? What happens when I come to a race and my goal is 140, but I run a 143? And, mm-hmm. and what happens on that dark side?
Yes, we have to be prepared for that, because yeah. not every race is going to give us the same results. So whatever, if you finished a race and you didn't get your results, you have to be mindful that, hey, those things happen, and keep moving forward. Don't beat yourself up. I've had days where I went out and I felt really good. I thought mm-hmm. I was going to PR, but I did not. But I didn't let that deter me from the goal. It's just like life, right? There's going to be things unexpected that occur that we didn't expect, but we still have to keep moving forward towards what we want to accomplish, right? And not let that make us take a step back. So, yeah, I think all that is part of self-care.
Yeah, and I think that that becomes the important and vital piece of all of this. And so, as you're processing, as you're processing failure, right? As you're processing failure, when you don't live up to your expectations, what are some things that you're doing to help to process that?
I try to fall back on my confidence and on the knowledge that I know who I am. I've defined who I am. Mm-hmm. And when you define who you are and where you're going and what you want to do, even when failure comes, you're going to have that definition of yourself mentally to fall back on. I know it can be difficult, mm-hmm. but I think if you really do a good job of defining who you are, what your goals are, where you want to be, where you want to go, and have confidence that you'll eventually achieve it, when those difficult times come, you can manage them better. You know, I ran my first marathon in 2020 during the pandemic when we were mm-hmm. on lockdown and life was uncertain. It was a virtual marathon with no support alone. I went to the Dismal Swamp. I'm sure you've been there, right? Dismal Swamp in Chesapeake.
Yep.
And I decided to just knock it out. Went straight ahead, 8 miles, came back. I had 16 and I had to do another 10. But the struggle revealed a part of me that lay dormant, you know, struggle redefined who I was. That's the beauty of the half marathon and marathon distance, is that it will make you a strong, determined individual, confident, relentless, and passionate, all of which has transferred into my everyday lifestyle. You know, in addition, I've gained a host of health benefits as well.
And for me, that's one of the greatest things about an active lifestyle as part of a healthy self-care ritual is it's the health benefits, but it's also the mentality that we bring into it. Because I have gone to some very deep and dark places on runs, and I've had to mentally overcome, wrestle with, reflect on a lot of those things. I have learned the boundaries of my own body, of my own mind. And when we practice these sorts of rituals in our lives, it helps us to know more about ourselves. And
yes,
I mean, that what a greater lesson that we can receive in a self-care routine than to learn about ourselves, to learn about whether it's our physical limitations, our mental limitations. You know, I'm one who says that the marathon is just not for me mentally. It is just such a taxing experience that I don't really have a desire to do it. I've done one. I did a marathon, and it was not fun.
It's not fun.
And I can live with that in my life. And so we learn things about ourselves when we engage in these self-care rituals that help us to grow, to be a better human being, to understand ourselves more and to grow more out of that.
Exactly. And like I said, that was one accomplishment, even though I've done other marathons, but that first time really reveals something to you that you didn't know before, especially when you hit the miles after 20.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and you know, the pain and the, and imagine doing it and you don't have any support around you or people around you running. Nope. You're just out here at the Dismal Swamp. And, you know, it connects you with your higher self, you know, with your faith as well, because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. Because people were surprised when I told them I went out for the first time, you know, as a master's athlete. You know, I'm not a young dude anymore, you know, and I'm out here running by myself for all those miles, you know, so it took a lot of courage.
You know? Yeah. I know a lot of folks who did their first marathon during the pandemic, and I give them all the praise, because I could not imagine doing that long of a run, that many miles By myself. Even when I try and do long runs, I always like try and make sure that someone's with me or that I might have some support along the run. I'm doing loops around, you know, and so doing that on your own. So I want to also focus on the auxiliary things that you talked about at the beginning. We've spent a lot of time here talking about that physical, but you also talk about those auxiliary things that play a role in how you're able to care for yourself. You talk about the nutrition, you talk about the mental and spiritual components. And so as you're thinking about, as you're waking up and you're thinking about what does my day hold, or you're, I don't know if you're one of the people who plans out their week or anything like that. But what are some of, how are you considering those auxiliary things that surround your physical activity lifestyle, even your vocational lifestyle? How are you looking at those auxiliary things and how are you creating space for them?
Oh, sure. I take things one day at a time.
Mm.
And the minute I wake up, any day, every day, I wake up with gratitude. That's the number one thing that I incorporate in my life, because if I rely on my faith and a belief in a power greater than myself to get through the day, to get through the different times. So gratitude, I find, gives me a sense of peace that I don't take this day for granted. That's how I wake up. I'm glad that I'm up. I'm glad that I'm ready to go. And I spend a few minutes of reflection also and just sit and in silence. You know, some people will pray. Some people will sit in silence. And, you know, one thing I do, I share with all my friends is water is the first thing I drink in the morning.
Yep.
I have it in the bedroom, so I don't have to go too far to get to that water bottle. And that's the first thing that I always add a little bit of squeeze a little bit of lemon in there as well. And that has helped me, you know, health-wise as well. So that's the first step. And also, if you have the attitude that you have, the positive mental attitude that you have when you start the day will carry you through for the rest of the day, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your running and your interaction with others, that attitude will be reflected to others and you'll have the day will be a bit more easy on you, you know? So that's how I start. And that has worked for me.
Yeah.
Quite well.
And it plays a role in who you are as a runner as well. And I think that continues to testify to that fact. And the last thing that I want to talk to you about, because along with being just all of these other things, you work at one of the local run shops here in Hampton Roads. And I've talked about it on the show before of how different we all are and how individualized self-care is. And anytime I talk about how individualized self-care is, I always talk about running shoes, because I think running shoes offer just the perfect metaphor of individualizing our self-care, because I can wear one kind of running shoe and it can be the best running shoe for me. It's hard for me to recommend it because I don't know what the other person's foot does. And so as someone who you sell a lot more than running shoes. I've been to Point Two a couple of times when Ray's been there. I think I got my Aftershocks from y'all. I've been there a couple of times for shoes. I don't know. I can't count how many times I've been to running stores. This is But as we think about that individualization component, and you can speak to it from a running shoe aspects, I think it offers a great metaphor for us. But why? Like, why is it I can walk into a running store and a shoe will fit me so well, and someone else will walk into a running store and it will cause them pain when they wear it?
Yes. And as you said, I work for Point Two Running Company in Chesapeake, and I really enjoy what I do there because I get a chance to talk to runners, to walkers, to people that are just trying to better themselves. And it's a lot of fun just doing that. And everyone is different. That's why we treat everyone as an individual, because what works for one person, as you said, is not going to work for the other. We do a gait analysis to determine where you are and what your gait looks like. We have you go on the treadmill. We'll video it, you doing a jog, just so we can see exactly what your needs might be and make the proper recommendations. Mm-hmm. And we do that with care and with, you know, concern. And we really want the person to have a good experience. And even after you get the shoe, we give you 30 days.
Yeah.
So if 2 weeks from now, it doesn't work for you, after you use it, you could still come back and get credit towards something different.
Mm-hmm.
But to your question, it's just that everyone has a different gait. Everyone moves differently, and you have to put them in a shoe that supports that movement properly.
And just like that, you know, we all have different things that help us, right? We all have mm-hmm. different ways that we function. I always point out, you know, my wife is an introvert and I'm an extrovert. That means that I get my fill by being out in public. I love going to run clubs. I love going to, you know, activities, community activities. And you know, sometimes my wife just likes to sit at home with a good book. And I think in the same way that, you know, I have loved and used Brooks running shoes since I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I have friends who cannot wear Brooks because they hurt their feet.
Okay.
You know, I have friends who absolutely love and enjoy, you know, Sauconys. I have friends who they swear by Hokas. And it's all about, you know, what works for you. And I think that's such an important lesson to translate into even our self-care lifestyles that, you know, what works for me. And this is where I say, like, I'm a runner. You don't have to be a runner, but I think finding maybe that manner of activity that helps to fill you, whether that's walking, cycling, CrossFit, lifting. I mean, there's so many ways that we can get out there that we can be active. There's so many ways that we can care for ourselves. But it's like you said, like the gait analysis, it takes reflection and it takes understanding. And maybe sometimes it takes other experts coming in and helping us understand what those things are to help us to learn and grow in that respect so that we know how we can do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're all in this together, Andrew, and we can learn a lot from one another as well. Over the last 6 years of running, I've learned so much from others in the running community. There's some great people out there, and I ask questions, I observe them, I see what they do, and there's a lot of runners out there that they care about one another mm-hmm. and they really want you to do well. And that's what makes this, especially the 757 running community, such a great community.
Yeah.
Because people care. And that's why I've enjoyed my journey the past 6 years.
And what a great journey it sounds like it's been. I want to hit some of these end of the podcast questions continue to dive in. So what is an accomplishment that you are proud of?
Well, that would have to be the first marathon because that really, really took me to a different place, mm-hmm. so to speak. It really, afterwards, I feel as if I would never be the same again. Mm-hmm. I became more determined, more confident, more passionate about what I do. And like I said, all that transferred into my everyday life. And in addition to all the host of health benefits that I've gained mm-hmm. out of being able to run that distance. But I think that first marathon is one that I will always cherish. I will always talk about and tell a story about and be the most proud of.
Who do you go to when life gets tough?
Well, when life gets tough, I rely on my faith, my belief in a power greater than myself to get me through the difficulties. Because I think whatever works for each individual, you know, I don't tell anyone what they should be doing, mm-hmm. who they should go to. But for me, it's that higher power. Mm. You know, we all go through difficult times. That is the nature of life, I suppose. And having a faith-based belief system will always carry us through to better days up ahead. So, like I said, gratitude goes hand in hand with my belief in a higher power. And that's what sustains me. Yep. That's what gives me life. That's what gives me strength. to carry on.
Well, and that's what rests at the heart of this podcast, that it's both that the connection to our faith is what helps us understand and know that we deserve to care for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, what is an upcoming goal that you have?
Well, by the way, I got into the New York City Marathon.
Ooh, yeah. Fun.
So I'm training and I'm staying healthy so I can get to the start line on November 6th. And my daughter is running it also. So we're going to run it together. So it's going to be like a family type of thing. And I'm really excited to be able to do that because, you know, 10 years ago, this wasn't even on my radar. It wasn't even something that I dreamed of. So sometimes life will present things to you. You could look at it as a reward or look at it as something that you really never thought you would do. And here you are doing it. And I'm really looking forward to that. It's really exciting for me.
And what a great opportunity. So for our listeners, you know, New York is one of the 6 world major marathons. And a lot of these have a lottery system to get in. And so you either, a lot of times you either have to run a certain qualifying time, or you have to enter this lottery of tens of thousands of runners and get selected. So it is awesome. New York, I hear it is a fun and beautiful course. And then also, you know, going back to your roots as well, into that area of the country. And so I know that's going to be a fun experience for you and to be able to celebrate with family. I'm going to be following along with that journey. I'll make sure that Ray's social media is tagged in the notes because he is an absolutely great follow, especially for running content and learning about running content. But also, if you want to follow this journey as he goes to New York, I can only imagine what is about to come as we see Ray grow and learn and then run the New York City Marathon. What an awesome opportunity. So
that's great. Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me. Wish you the best, and I'll see you out there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I recorded this episode with Ray about 2 years ago now, and yet there is still so much in it that continues to just ring true in my journey, and I can even imagine in Ray's journey as well. And so as you were listening, I hope there was some stuff about Ray's journey that you begin to pick up. And as I said, you know, I already am working with Ray to get him on the Run, Build, Grow for a community-specific conversation. But to have that journey just sit with us and be a part of the experience of this podcast to allow us to continue to learn and grow together, I think there's so much in that of acknowledging who we are as runners, because we bring ourselves into community. And when we bring that understanding of being a runner into community, we allow it, like Vanessa talked about last week, to be able to be a part of what is bringing us together rather than thinking about what makes us not a part of the community. And so I loved highlighting this story from Ray again, having him come on being able to share this. I shared it again with his permission. And so it was great to be able to share this story again. I'd love to also encourage you to support the podcast. You know, I really do want this to be a consistent thing. And I do feel so bad not being able to get the regular episodes, the newly recorded guests out. But again, like, this is great information, something great to reflect on. And even looking that it was recorded a couple of years ago, you know, there's still so much in it that speaks. You know, if you heard, Ray was talking about getting ready to run New York, and he's run New York now. I think he's run it twice, in fact. But, you know, I just want to be able to be consistent to make this community, to make us learn and grow together. And so, please, I would love your support. If you would make sure that you're following, subscribing to the podcast on your favorite listening platform, if you would maybe just take that extra minute and leave a rating or review. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, those are two places where you can leave a review. And Spotify, it's on the episode. In Apple, you leave it on the podcast as a whole. And I just love seeing those ratings, those reviews, seeing that you guys really enjoy this podcast. And we do have another review over on Apple Podcasts. This one from Ziggy Overlord. Love that name. The guests change week over week, but the consistent positivity from all is so great to hear. Andrew and his guests always give the listener something to learn and pull from their runs in the community. It's titled Consistently Positive. I love that spirit. I do love to bring that positive spirit because I think that we are better together. We are better in this community. We are better when we do this thing called life together, because that is one of the greatest things that we can do to help run, build, and grow, is to do it as a community together. And so giving Ziggy Overlord that shout out, thank you so much for that. As always, I mean, you know, Dat Frenchie Chris is dropping me some reviews over on Spotify. Thank you again. As always, Chris, you are amazing. Keep dropping those rating and reviews, and please help to support the podcast. Support the podcast over at buymeacoffee.com. You know, I love seeing the reviews, but also to help keep this podcast going, to help keep the lights on, so to say, to help to continue to support this. So buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. Head over, you can drop a one-time tip, or you can become a member with a monthly donation. And what a great opportunity to help to continue to keep the fun going. So as we go out into the week, I want you to remember, make every mile count.